David's life was not without great failures. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. It's really great to see you today. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. And if you're new to the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, welcome. I'm glad you stopped by, and I sure hope you like what you hear. One thing I need to say right off, we don't have listeners here. We are family, the LifeSpring family, and family participates. I welcome your emails, your comments, and if you find value in the show, I welcome your support. It's kind of like a family potluck dinner. When everybody brings something, the dinner's better. So stick around for a while and see if the show adds to your day and your life. My prayer is that you'll be back many, many times. Today is History Tuesday, and today we're going to finish one of the books of history, the book of 1 Chronicles. We'll read chapters 25 through 29. After the reading, I'll have some comments, and after that, I'll have an On This Date in Church History segment for you. I'm calling today's episode, The Man After God's Own Heart. The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E258. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com, and with that, let's get started. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, of Heman, and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. And the number of the skilled men performing their service was, of the sons of Asaph, Zachar, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asherela. The sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshaiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah, 6, under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bekiah, Mattaniah, Uzziel, Shebuel, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliatha, Gedaltai, Romamti-Ezer, Joshbekasha, Malathi, Hother, and Mahazioth. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to exalt his horn. For God gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the direction of their father for the music in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the authority of the king. So the number of them, with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. And they cast lots for their duty, the small as well as the great, the teacher with the student. Now the first lot for Asaph came out for Joseph, the second for Gedaliah, him with his brethren and sons, 12. The third for Zachar, his sons and his brethren, 12. The fourth for Jizrai, his sons and his brethren, 12. The fifth for Nethaniah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The sixth for Bekiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The seventh for Jesharela, his sons and his brethren, 12. The eighth for Jeshaiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The ninth for Mattaniah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The tenth for Shimei, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 11th for Azarel, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 12th for Hashabiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 13th for Shubiel, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 14th for Mattathiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 15th for Jeremoth, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 16th for Hananiah, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 17th for Joshbekasha, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 18th for Hanani, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 19th for Malathi, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 20th for Eliatha, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 21st for Hother, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 22nd for Gedaltai, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 23rd for Mahazioth, his sons and his brethren, 12. The 24th for Romamti-Ezer, his sons and his brethren, 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 26. Concerning the divisions of the gatekeepers, of the Korahites, Meshelemiah, the son of Kori, of the sons of Asaph. And the sons of Meshelemiah were Zechariah the firstborn, Jediael the second, Zebadiah the third, Jathniel the fourth, Elam the fifth, Jehohanan the sixth, Eliahoenai the seventh. Moreover, the sons of Obed-Edom were Shemaiah the firstborn, Jehozabad the second, Joah the third, Sakar the fourth, Nathanael the fifth, Amiel the sixth, Issachar the seventh, Peulthai the eighth, for God blessed him. Also to Shemaiah his son were sons born who governed their father's houses, because they were men of great ability. The sons of Shemaiah were Othni, Raphael, Obed, and Elzabad, whose brothers Elihu and Semachai were able men. All these were the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men with strength for the work, 62 of Obed-Edom. And Meshelemiah had sons and brethren, 18 able men. Also Hosa of the children of Merari had sons. Shimri the first, though he was not the firstborn, his father made him the first. Hilkiah the second, Tebaliah the third, Zechariah the fourth. All the sons and brethren of Hosa were 13. Among these were the divisions of the gatekeepers, among the chief men, having duties just like their brethren, to serve in the house of the Lord. And they cast lots for each gate, the small as well as the great, according to their father's house. The lot for the east gate fell to Shelemiah. Then they cast lots for his son Zechariah, a wise counselor, and his lot came out for the north gate, to Obed-Edom, the south gate, and to his sons, the storehouse. To Shuppim and Hosa, the lot came out for the west gate, with the Shalaketh gate on the ascending highway, watchman opposite watchman. On the east were 6 Levites, on the north 4 each day, on the south 4 each day, and for the storehouse 2 by 2. As for the parbar on the west, there were 4 on the highway and 2 at the parbar. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers among the sons of Korah and among the sons of Merari. Of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasuries of the house of God and over the treasuries of the dedicated things. The sons of Laadan, the descendants of the Gershonites of Laadan, heads of their father's houses, of Laadan the Gershonite, Jehielai, the sons of Jehielai, Zetham and Joel his brother, were over the treasuries of the house of the Lord. Of the Amramites, the Izharites, the Hebronites, and the Uzzielites, Shebuel the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, was overseer of the treasuries. And his brethren by Eliezer were Rehabiah his son, Jesheah his son, Joram his son, Zichri his son, and Shalomith his son. This Shalomith and his brethren were over all the treasuries of the dedicated things which King David and the heads of his father's houses, the captains over thousands and hundreds, and the captains of the army had dedicated. Some of the spoils won in battles they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer, Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated, every dedicated thing, was under the hand of Shalomith and his brethren. Of the Izharites, Kenaniah and his sons performed duties as officials and judges over Israel outside Jerusalem. Of the Hebronites, Hashabiah and his brethren, 1,700 able men, had the oversight of Israel on the west side of the Jordan for all the business of the Lord and in the service of the king. Among the Hebronites, Jerijah was head of the Hebronites according to his genealogy of the fathers. In the 40th year of the reign of David, they were sought, and there were found among them capable men at Jazer of Gilead. And his brethren were 2,700 able men, heads of fathers' houses, whom King David made officials over the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, for every matter pertaining to God and the affairs of the king. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. This is a list of Israelite family heads, regiment, and battalion commanders, and officers who were serving the king in all the army's units. Throughout each year, they came for a month at a time and then left. Each unit consisted of 24,000 men. Jashobeam, son of Zabdiah, was in charge of the first unit, the one during the first month. In his unit were 24,000. He was a descendant of Perez, and he was head of all the army's officers for the first month. Dodai, Ahoz's descendant, was in charge of the unit during the second month. It was his unit. Mikloth was one of its leaders. In Dodai's unit, there were 24,000. The third commander of the army during the third month was Benaiah, son of the priest Jehoiada. He was the head, and in his unit were 24,000. This Benaiah was one of the 30 fighting men and commander of the 30 as well as his own unit. His son was Amizabad. Azahel, Joab's brother, was in charge of the fourth unit during the fourth month, and after him was his son Zebadiah. In his unit, there were 24,000. Shamhath, Izra's descendant, was commander of the fifth unit during the fifth month. In his unit, there were 24,000. Ira, the son of Ikesh from Tekoa, was in charge of the sixth unit during the sixth month. In his unit, there were 24,000. Helez, a Pelonite from the descendants of Ephraim, was in charge of the seventh unit during the seventh month. In his unit, there were 24,000. Sibbekai, a descendant of Zerah from Husha, was in charge of the eighth unit during the eighth month. In his unit, there were 24,000. Abiezer, a member of the tribe of Benjamin from Anathoth, was in charge of the ninth unit during the ninth month. In his unit, there were 24,000. Meharai, a descendant of Zerah from Netophah, was in charge of the 10th unit during the 10th month. In his unit, there were 24,000. Benaiah, a member of the tribe of Ephraim from Pirathon, was in charge of the 11th unit during the 11th month. In his unit, there were 24,000. During the 12th month, the 12th unit was commanded by Heldai from Netophah. He was Othniel's descendant. In his unit, there were 24,000. The following officers were in charge of the tribes of Israel. For the tribe of Reuben, Eliezer, son of Zichri. For the tribe of Simeon, Shephatiah, son of Maacah. For the tribe of Levi, Hashbashiah, son of Kemuel. For the family of Aaron, Zadok. For the tribe of Judah, Elihu, one of David's brothers. For the tribe of Issachar, Amri, son of Michael. For the tribe of Zebulun, Ishmaiah, son of Obadiah. For the tribe of Naphtali, Jeremoth, son of Azrael. For the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, son of Azaziah. For the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joel, son of Pedaiah. For the half of Manasseh in Gilead, Iddo, son of Zechariah. For the tribe of Benjamin, Jaaziel, son of Abner. For the tribe of Dan, Azarel, son of Jeroham. These were the commanders of Israel's tribes. David didn't count those under 20 years old because the Lord had promised that the people of Israel would be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Joab, son of Zeruiah, started to count them but didn't finish. God was angry with Israel because of this, and the report from it was never included in the official records of King David. These were all the commanders in charge of King David's property. For the royal treasuries, Asmaveth, son of Adiel. For the goods in the fields, cities, villages, and watchtowers, Jonathan, son of Uzziah. For the farm workers in the fields, Ezrai, son of Caleb. For the vineyards, Shimei from Ramah. For storing wine that came from the vineyards, Zabdi from Shepham. For the olive and fig trees in the foothills, Baal-Hanan from Gedor. For storing olive oil, Joash. For the herds grazing in Sharon, Shitrai from Sharon. For the herds in the valleys, Shaphat, son of Adlai. For the camels, Obil, a descendant of Ishmael. For the donkeys, Jedea from Meronath. For the flocks, Jaziz from Hagar. David's uncle Jonathan, an educated man who possessed insight, was David's advisor. Jonathan and Jehiel, son of Hachmoni, were in charge of the king's sons. Ahithophel was the king's advisor. Hushai, a descendant of Archai, was the king's friend. Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and Abiathar succeeded Ahithophel. Joab was the commander of the royal army. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. David held a meeting in Jerusalem for all the leaders of Israel, the leaders of the tribes, the leaders of the army units that served the king, the commanders of regiments and battalions, the officials in charge of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, the palace officials, the soldiers, and the fighting men. David stood in front of them and said, "Listen to me, my relatives and subjects. I had my heart set on building the temple where the ark of the Lord's promise could be placed. This temple would be a stool for our God's feet, and I have made preparations to build it. But God told me, you must not build the temple for my name. You have fought wars and caused bloodshed. Yet from my entire family the Lord God of Israel chose me to be king of Israel permanently. He had chosen the tribe of Judah to lead Israel. From the families of Judah he chose my father's family. From among my father's sons he was pleased to make me king of all Israel. And of all my sons, the Lord has given me many sons, he chose my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the Lord's kingdom to rule Israel. He told me, your son Solomon will build my temple and my courtyards because I have chosen him to be my son. I will be his father. I will establish his kingdom forever if he will remain determined to obey my commands and laws, as he is doing today. Now, leaders, I order you in the sight of Israel, the Lord's congregation, and as our God listens, to dedicate your lives to doing everything the Lord your God has commanded. Then you will be able to possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance to your descendants. And you, my son Solomon, learn to know your father's God. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly and willingly, because he searches every heart and understands every thought we have. If you dedicate your life to serving him, he will accept you. But if you abandon him, he will reject you from then on. So be careful, because the Lord has chosen you to build the temple as his holy place. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the entrance hall and the temple, its storerooms, upper rooms, inner rooms, and the room for the throne of mercy. He gave him plans for the courtyards of the Lord's temple and for all the rooms around it. These rooms served as treasuries for God's temple and the gifts dedicated to God. He determined the divisions of priests and Levites. He planned all the work done for worship in the Lord's temple. He designed all the utensils for worship in the Lord's temple. David specified the weight of gold to be used for each of the utensils for worship, the weight of the gold lampstands and their gold lamps, that is, the weight of gold for each lampstand and its lamps. The weight of silver for each silver lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand for worship. The weight of gold for each table with the rows of bread, and the silver for the silver tables. The pure gold for the forks, bowls, and pitchers, the weight of each gold bowl, the weight of each silver bowl, and the refined gold for the altar of incense. He also gave Solomon the plans for the chariot, that is, the gold angels with their wings spread to cover the ark of the Lord's promise. David said, "All this was written for me by the Lord's hand. He made all the details of the plan clear to me." David also told his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or terrified. The Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not abandon you before all the work on the Lord's temple is finished." Here are also the divisions of the priests and Levites for every type of worship in God's temple. You have with you every skilled worker to do all the work. In addition, all the leaders and people are at your command. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Then King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, God has chosen him alone, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because the temple will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So to the best of my ability, I have made provision for the house of my God, gold for the gold articles, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx, stones for mounting, antimony, stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and a great quantity of marble. Moreover, because of my delight in the house of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the house of my God over and above all that I've provided for the holy house. 4,100 tons of gold, gold of Ophir, and 250 tons of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the buildings. The gold for the gold work and the silver for the silver, for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now who will volunteer to consecrate himself to the Lord today?" Then the leaders of the households, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. For the service of God's house they gave 185 tons of gold and 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 4,000 tons of iron. Whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the Lord's house under the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because of their leader's willingness to give, for they had given to the Lord with a whole heart. King David also rejoiced greatly. Then David praised the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. David said, "May you be praised, Lord God of our father Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you, and you are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? For everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your own hand. For we live before you as foreigners and temporary residents in your presence, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. Yahweh, our God, all this wealth that we've provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand. Everything belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and that you are pleased with what is right. I have willingly given all these things with an upright heart, and now I have seen your people who are present here giving joyfully and willingly to you. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our ancestors, keep this desire forever in the thoughts of the hearts of your people, and confirm their hearts toward you. Give my son Solomon a whole heart to keep and to carry out all your commands, your decrees, and your statutes, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So the whole assembly praised the Lord God of their ancestors. They bowed down and paid homage to the Lord and the king. The following day they offered sacrifices to the Lord and burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, along with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They ate and drank with great joy in the Lord's presence that day. Then for a second time they made David's son Solomon king. They anointed him as the Lord's ruler, and Zadok as the priest. Solomon sat on the Lord's throne as king in place of his father David. He prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. All the leaders and the mighty men, and all of King David's sons as well, pledged their allegiance to King Solomon. The Lord highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been bestowed on any king over Israel before him. David, son of Jesse, was king over all Israel. The length of his reign over Israel was 40 years. He reigned in Hebron for 7 years, and in Jerusalem for 33. He died at a ripe old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and his son Solomon became king in his place. As for the events of King David's reign from beginning to end, note that they are written in the events of Samuel the seer, the events of Nathan the prophet, and the events of Gad the seer, along with all his reign, his might, and the incidents that affected him at Israel and all the kingdoms of the surrounding lands. Well, beloved, these chapters are the finale of David's life. One of David's great desires was to build the temple, but God told him that since he'd been a man of war and had spilled blood, he would not be the one to build it. That would be for his son Solomon to do. But instead of allowing David to build the temple, God told David that he, God, would build an everlasting house for David. There would be a descendant of David on the throne forever. But God did allow David to make the preparations to build it, and this David did with all of his heart. He gathered gold, silver, bronze, wood, onyx, and a variety of other stones and marble. And he arranged for all the craftsmen that would do the work. And David gave the plans for building the temple to Solomon. So, in today's language, we might say that David was sort of a general contractor. Not exactly, but you get the idea. The point is, God allowed David to do everything but actually be involved in the construction itself, and David put his all into the preparation. In the final two chapters, David called together all of Israel's leaders and told them that they should be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord their God so that they would possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for their children and their children's children forever. And David had words of advice for Solomon, his son. He said, "Know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts." And he said, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you." Beloved, this is really good advice for any parent to pass on to their children, don't you think? And then David offered praise to God in the manner that you would expect of the one who wrote most of the Psalms. And then, after Solomon took the throne, he was anointed king. And the Lord exalted Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and God bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. So David, the shepherd boy, in the eyes of men the least of the sons of Jesse, but the one chosen by God to become king of Israel, reigned for 40 years. David's life was not without great failures, but he was called a man after God's own heart. Quite a legacy, I'd say. What do you think? Do you have a comment? Let me know. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E258, scroll to the bottom of the page, and leave a comment there. Tomorrow is Psalms Wednesday. We'll read chapters 111 through 113. Okay, before I go any further, I want to comment on something I said in yesterday's commentary. After I played Adam Curry's reading of Romans 10:9, I said, "I'm still rejoicing in the fact that that came out of the mouth of Adam Curry." Now, the lovely Lady Leanne told me that it sort of sounded like I was implying something like, "I can't believe that somebody like Adam Curry could be saved." Well, of course, that is not at all what I meant to imply. What I meant was that I love Adam, and I'm so glad that he accepted the Lord. Like I said the other day, I've been praying for him really since before we met in Ontario, California, when he was launching Pod Show and I interviewed him for the LifeSpring podcast. Before we met that day, I prayed that God would give me an opportunity to share Jesus with him. And he did. So I've literally been praying for Adam for, 16 or 17 years. And it's wonderful to know that he has opened his heart to the Lord. That's why I'm rejoicing. I've always thought that Adam had a good heart and that he's a good guy. And now, he's a brother in the Lord. Hallelujah. Kirsty left a comment on the show notes page for the John 16-18 episode, Jesus' Prayer for You. Kirsty said, "That thought about God turning his face from Jesus and Jesus being alone, just wow. And he did that for little old me? Definitely going to have to meditate on that a bit more." Yeah, it's an amazing thing, don't you think, Kirsty? And I really believe that that aloneness was worse than the physical pain that Jesus went through for us. And then a few days ago, Meredith commented on my statement of faith at lifespringmedia.com. This isn't directly show-related, but it sort of is, and you'll find out why in a minute. But on my statement of faith, Meredith commented, "This is lovely. Is it based on some other published statement of faith, confession, or creed? Just curious about any lineage, association, or inspiration. Thanks." And then here's the clue. And she said, "Also, thank you for your courage." So she's a no-agenda producer, which makes me think that she's probably listening to the show. So here's my response to Meredith. In the morning, thank you. I certainly can't take credit for my statement of faith. It's actually fairly common to post a statement of faith on Christian websites. It sort of gives the visitor to the website some context as to the beliefs of the person or organization whose website they're on. Since practically all of the content here at LifeSpring Media is written or spoken by me, I wanted to make it clear what beliefs I hold. As I was writing my statement of faith, I researched a lot of other statements of faith and confessions of creeds. And Meredith, thank you for your courage, and God bless you. On this date in church history, May 17, 1838, William Hobart Hare was born. He was an American Episcopal bishop and the Apostle of the Sioux, as in Sioux Indians. He served as missionary bishop of Niobrara in the Nebraska and Dakotas area for 37 years until his death. William Hare is actually a pretty fascinating person. I'll have a link on the show notes page if you'd like to find out more about him. And on May 17, 1881, the New Testament of the English Revised Version was published in England, and it was the first modern English translation of the scriptures published since 1611. That's 270 years. The English Revised Version was the product of 10 years of work by 54 biblical scholars on both sides of the Atlantic, and it provided the scholarly foundation for the publication of the American Standard Version of the Bible in 1901 and 1905. Today you heard me read some of those unusual Old Testament names. If you'd like to know how to have those names roll easily off your tongue, all you need is my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. I spent over 2 years compiling the book, and pastors, students, and teachers, and lots of others have given it an average of 4.5 stars on Amazon. 79% of the reviews are 5-star ratings. Listen to this review from Jay. He said, "Get it. You need it. This is a must. As a preaching student, I find some names a bit challenging, but this book breaks them down into easy-to-pronounce sections. It's not a bunch of accent marks and stuff most people can't remember. This puts the names into plain English." Obviously, you can buy Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide on Amazon, which is faster. But when you buy the book on my website at BibleNames.link, you'll get 3 things that you don't get on Amazon. Number 1 is my personal guarantee. If you don't love the book, I'll send you back your money. Number 2, when you buy the book from my website, you're helping to support this show. And because you're helping, I'll give you a discount since you're part of the LifeSpring family. When you check out, use discount code PODCAST and I'll give you a 25% discount. Number 3, when you buy my book from BibleNames.link, you can get it in PDF or MP3 as well as softcover. You can't get the PDF or MP3 at Amazon. And one last thing, when you buy the softcover version of the book from my website, I'll sign it for you if you want me to. Just drop me an email to let me know, steve@lifespringmedia.com. And thank you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the account of David's life. Thank you for showing us his character, warts and all. You called him a man after your own heart because he truly wanted to do whatever you asked, and he loved your word. Help us to be people after your own heart, too. Help us to have faith like David had and a desire to do your will. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request or a praise that you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com and fill out the form there. I'll pray for you in my private prayer time, and we'll pray together on the show. If you'd like to comment on the show, go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E258. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And thanks to the team, Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise. And by the way, Denise has been around these parts for a long time. I'm pretty sure she goes all the way back to the LifeSpring podcast days. Am I right, Denise? God bless you, team. Thank you guys for your generous donations of time and talent. Now, if you'd like to help support the show, you can donate time, talent, or treasure too. To donate treasure, go to lifespringmedia.com/support. If you've got time or talent you'd like to donate, send me an email. And now, thank you for being here today. I know you've got a lot of choices to choose from in selecting a podcast to listen to, and I'm honored that you give me your time. I thank you, and I pray that God will bless you. Until tomorrow, my name is Steve Webb. Bye.